Welcome to Real Talk with RJ and Matt. Join us each week as we break down merch by Amazon and print on demand with some of the top sellers on the platform. Learn from some of the best as we test theories and examine strategies to give you the tools and knowledge to find success in this industry. This podcast is sponsored by Merch Informer. Take your merch game to the next level by finding untapped niches and high sales volume keywords. Save hundreds of research hours by heading over to merchinformer.com and grab a free 3-day trial today. Links in the description below.
Welcome, 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 guys. We have Reyes, the entrepreneur, with us here today. This is going to be a really, really fun show. RJ is going to do his thing and get some stuff started up for us on different channels. But just want to welcome everybody here. I know it's a little bit random time for us. We normally do this on Wednesday, but Reyes said he can join us on Monday at 3 p.m. You want to go ahead and introduce yourself, talk about a little bit about your background, what you do?
Yeah, man. My name is Reyes Entrepreneur. Pretty much I have a YouTube channel where I show people how to start little hustles by me actually doing them. I've had a shirt business full-time. I've done eBay full-time. I'm doing YouTube now full-time. I'm growing my vending machine business. And then I'm just showing different hustles because, for example, right now I'm going to have a video uploaded at 4 about making money charging Bird scooters. And those are the things that interest me. So that's a little bit about myself, man.
Nice, nice. I saw that. I saw on your Instagram that you were riding around picking up scooters the other day. I was like, oh yeah, this is gonna be interesting.
Yeah, and it was a lot of fun, man. But the sucky thing about it was that we had to do it at night.
Yeah.
So we didn't stop till like 4:30 in the morning. But right. Hey, man, it was a good experience.
That's like a true hustle right there, right? Because like it's basically free for all. It's just as many as you can grab and charge. That's how much money you're gonna make, right?
Well, here's the thing. For example, Lime and Bird is kind of like Uber and Lyft. Two companies, they do the same thing. So Lime has a 30 scooter limit per day, but Bird, as many as you can carry.
Dang. Okay. Dang. That's pretty interesting. Also, too, this episode 65, guys. 35 away from 100. So we're gonna make that push, guys. We're gonna make that push. So you're collecting scooters, right? If you guys haven't rode the Lime scooters, they're actually pretty dope. They're pretty fun. I got them up. They go pretty fast too. They have little lights on them too at night when you ride them at night. They have little lights on them. They're pretty dope. And so basically, what you're doing is collecting them and getting like per scooter, getting paid per scooter. How's that work exactly?
Yeah, pretty much. So you have the app, and then it's called a juicer for Lime.
Yeah,
I thought it was super funny. But anyways, so the app tells you, hey, there's this many right here that they need to charge. Pick them up. Once you pick them up, you take them home. You know, you pick them all up at once. Take them home, charge them. Take about 3 or 4 hours to charge. They need to be at least 95% or more. Then just go back to the app, and it tells you where to drop them off. And after you drop each one, you get paid right there. And you get paid, like, immediately.
That's cool.
Everything. Yeah, man. Yeah. But it wasn't really me doing it. It was a guy who's been doing it for months.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that night we did it, we did Lime and Bird. And the same night we picked up Lime, charged them. While they were charging, we went to pick up Bird and then dropped them off in the morning. He made about $330, man. But, of course, gas. He spent about $50 on gas, but that's going to last him the whole weekend. Mm-hmm. Food, electricity, $7.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's been doing that, man, and on Lime he's been making about 4 or 5 thousand a month, and on Bird about 3 or 4 thousand.
Damn,
yeah, man. Solid,
but that's a hustle, man. Like you are hustling every single day to do that for sure.
Oh yeah, he does it every day. He even has a regular job because here's the thing about those kind of businesses like Uber, Lyft, Lime, Bird. Man, it's good right now, but you're dependent on the company. Because tomorrow the company could be like, you know what, we're cutting the prices in half. Instead of getting paid $5, you're getting paid $2 or $3. And then what are you going to do? Yeah. So that's what he has, his own regular job, but he picks up scooters before and after, man. He's a hustler, bro.
So how'd you get into this, man? Like, how'd you get started, like, doing the videos and everything else? Because, you got a pretty solid following, like, and you're super entertaining. Like, I enjoy your stuff, so it's really cool.
Thank you, man. And honestly, I started way back when 25, and I was just lost in the world. I knew I wanted to teach. I just didn't know how. And then I just happened to make a YouTube video about my struggle, my journeys. It didn't take off, but I enjoyed doing it so much that I just kept doing it until I realized about 3 years ago, I'm like, you know what? No, last year, I'm like, you know what? I want to really focus on YouTube and go at it full time. And I've had my ups and downs, but luckily, a video went semi-viral, started bringing a lot of subscribers, a lot of ad revenue, changed my life forever, man.
Nice. Very nice. So for those that don't know, like, what was the video that went kind of viral?
How I made screen printing into my full-time income.
Okay,
yeah, how I made screen printing into my full-time income. And, you know, it was just one of those videos that just happened to be at the right moment in my life. Because just making sure that noise, is it me?
What is it?
Rattling?
What was it?
You guys don't hear anything?
No.
No, you're good.
Oh, man, I'm tripping over here then. Anyways, though. But, yeah, man, it happened at the right time in my life because actually that was when I had to sell my shirt equipment because I had gotten sick. My appendix had expanded, and I had to go in the hospital for a week. And then that was the time and sense for the shirts. If you're not making shirts, you're not making money. And I wasn't making any money. And then the rent was due like in a week, and I didn't have enough. So I decided to sell my shirt equipment, pay the rent, and then I still had to be on bed rest for a whole week after I got out of the hospital. Nothing to do. I just started editing videos that I had recorded before. And sure enough, that first video I posted while I was on bed rest, while I was struggling and thinking, what am I going to do with my life, you know? It went semi-viral, man. And don't get me wrong, the money didn't start flowing, but it started a snowball effect. Mm-hmm. You know, I started making some money, so I put more fire into YouTube, more videos, started growing over time, and about 2 or 3 months after that video went semi-viral, I was doing YouTube full-time. I had quit my job that I had got.
Yeah. Now, this is pretty interesting because you can actually go back to, like, your first YouTube video and can see, like, when you were struggling, you talked about it, right? So I see that as, like, that's inspirational. That's badass because not too many people can do that. And understanding that that actually took you, like, a grind just to get to where you are now is, like, so much respect and badass. So hats off to you, and good job, good shit.
Thank you, man, because when I first started, I had an idea of where I wanted to go, and I knew I wanted to show people, not just tell people how to become successful or tell people about the struggle. I really want to show them so they understood that, hey, we all go through struggles, but it's your mentality that's holding you back. Yeah. And that's why I preach in my videos, man.
Yeah, no, we talk about that all the time. Like, that mindset is so, so important, right? Like, so many people, like, they don't have the right mindset. They start off and they're defeated before they even start, or they think that, like, they just want to make $1,000 when it's like, you can make $10,000, you can make $20,000. Like, the only thing that's holding you back is just the fact that you're setting these imaginary, like, stops that, you know, that I can only do this. It's just mindset.
See, everybody puts their own limitations. That's the thing, because anything you want to do, you can accomplish. It's just going to take a lot of time and effort, but it's possible.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Now, so what side hustles do you have going on right now? Because I know you got a bunch.
So the main one is the vending machine business. I got big vending machines, 2 sodas and 2 snacks. I have 1 location right now, waiting on the snack, so I could place it. And I really just want to grow that business. That's one of the businesses where I'm like, you know what? Whether it makes good content or not, I'm going to keep doing it. Because honestly, I just got to check up on it once a month and restock it that same day. And I make about $200-$400, man.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty interesting. I know that. So we probably skipped a little bit of the line. How are you? I wanted to go back to that real fast. How is this guy picking up the scooters? Like, how many scooters were, how many scooters were you picking up exactly again?
So we picked up 30 Lime scooters, which was the limit. And then we picked up about 28 Bird scooters, but he already had like 6 to 8 at home that he didn't deliver in time.
Okay.
So about 68 scooters in total we did that day.
Oh, damn. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. No, so I was kind of bring that back because I was like, it was on my mind. I was like, how many scooters did he pick up in one night? Yeah. So no, that's pretty interesting for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So you have the vending machine hustle, and then how do you come up with ideas for your videos, right? Like what you're doing, because you're always showing people new ways to make money, because that's kind of what your thing is, right? Like there's so many different opportunities out there. Like figure out, you know, maybe this one thing or this one thing or this one thing is the thing that'll get you, you know, sparked and get you going.
You know what, man? The very first thing is if I'm interested in it. Mm-hmm. If I just, and honestly, it's not like, I just, for example, I was looking at this today, a list of all my little hustles I'm interested in, the bounce house. I'm going to try doing DoorDash this Friday, you know, Snapchat premium, you know, how does that work? So pretty much I just have my ideas. I'm interested in it. The next step is finding a way to make a video about it. So the Lime and scooters, that's something I've always was interested in. And then I just put it on Instagram that I'm looking for somebody who's doing that. And if they let me shadow them, found a person, made it happen. And that's what I plan to do. But those are hustles that are mainly for content and education. Mm-hmm. But my main hustles are the vending machine, YouTube, and I'm about to get a DTG printer in about a week already.
That's badass. That's cool. But your main purpose though for YouTube, this is a lot of people don't understand. Your main purpose for YouTube is to help other people and kind of give them like show them what it's all about before they actually start doing it. You know what I mean? So that's pretty cool too. Is like actually you're actually putting yourself out there to show people like this is how it's done and this is how you do it and this is no BS behind it. This is exactly how much the person spent. This is exactly like how much the product cost. And my name is Reyes, and here I am. Check it out.
Yeah, spreading free 99 knowledge, bro. Hey.
So you're getting a DTG printer. What are the plans for the DTG printer?
I want to grow into a business as well, like the vending machine. Mm-hmm. I want to hire an employee, grow it up, and make money out of it. And, of course, content.
Yeah. I mean, content is going to be obviously part of it. So are you going to be doing online sales, like in-person sales? Like, do you have any idea in terms of how you're going to do your business?
So right now I'm mainly focusing in my own little town, like getting orders from here first. And then eventually I want to find a niche and build a website around it. For example, when I used to have my own little shirt business, I mainly focus on sports moms. You know, they love representing their kids on the shirt. And that was a really profitable niche. And I kind of want to go back into it where I want to make a website where a sports mom who order a shirt of their, like a full picture, make it simple, make it quick, make it affordable, and grow that. That's my main plan right now.
Now, that's actually pretty interesting right there. I know the audience, like how did you come across that niche? How'd you figure that out?
So when I had I started with a decal, the decal machine, the vinyl cutter. Mm-hmm. And that's when I tried a whole bunch of different niches. Mm-hmm. Is it niche or niche?
Whatever you, it's a toss up. That's a good argument. That's a good argument.
Everybody makes fun of me because I say certain way and be like, Ray, that's not how you say it. I'm like, whatever, bro. You know what I mean. But when I start with the decal, I tried a whole bunch of different niches, groups, car clubs, churches, businesses. And then once I got into shirts, I know my town, the town I was in, it was really sports, like orient, you know, family sports. We had baseball, football, AYSO soccer, sports all year round. So it seemed like a perfect market. And I noticed I was getting a lot of orders of moms who just wanted a number 7, the kid's last name, and something in the front like Tigers. And I'm like, that's super easy to do. And they were willing to pay. So my mentality was, if a parent has enough money to put their kid in a sports program, they have enough money to buy a shirt to represent. Yeah. And I just started focusing on that group, marketing to them, and relating to them. And sure enough, that grew my business. Don't get me wrong. I was still getting business from car clubs, businesses, schools. But I just focused on that main niche because it was quick, simple work, and I made a good profit out of it.
And that's pretty interesting for sure. That's how you come across a lot of niches and stuff like that. I know people have trouble finding new niches and profitable niches when it comes to businesses. And I'm trying to teach them like, hey, this is how you do it. Like you accidentally come across this by like mistake or just because you're testing so much. And then obviously it just comes right into you, like right into your hand. You're like, wow, I didn't know this is actually like a profitable niche. And next thing you know, you're selling just weird stuff, and you didn't even think it would ever, like, ever sell before. It's that's pretty cool.
For sure. I think it's also be an interesting conversation too. So when you were marketing this stuff, right? Like, how were you doing it? Were you going out to like the sports fields and having like flyers just door to door, like, go talk to people?
No. So pretty much the, another big reason why I chose this group was because sports moms, they're on Facebook 24/7, man. Cause for example, you got to figure out where your niche is hanging out. I know sports moms, they're not hanging out on Instagram, on Snapchat. They're on Facebook talking to the other sports moms, being gossip on the Facebook groups.
Yeah.
That's where I mainly would advertise. And that's what worked great for me right there.
Dang, no, that's pretty cool. You said lowriders. You're at the lowrider shows, huh? Pulling out the shirts in the back of the truck.
Nah, man. But yeah, man. You know, one of the worst niches for me were car clubs, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, give me a second.
Yep.
Bro, lower it, yeah. I'm doing an interview. One of the worst niches were car clubs, because car clubs, they love that cheap, cheap products, you know? And they always put the hookup, man. Always. And I hated that.
No, that sounds about right for sure.
No, I mean, it's important though. Like, when you're going into a niche, is understanding, like, are they willing to spend money? Because there are definitely niches out there that, like, they want everything for free, or they always want the discount. It's got to be like they just want cheap stuff. They really care about price. And, you know, I mean, that's great. Like, somebody can serve them, but it's not necessarily the best place to start a business.
Yep.
So we got 38 people on here watching this. Go ahead and give this video a thumbs up, please. I'm excited to have Reyes on here. We've been talking probably about 2 months and finally got him on. Appreciate you coming on for sure. Okay. Now with the video ideas, I know that's pretty challenging sometimes, right? When it comes to YouTube, like you're just writing, basically you're just kind of just going through your daily thing and just coming up with ideas and writing stuff down. Me and Matt are a big fan of writing ideas down, what you're doing throughout the day, your goals throughout the day. Me and Matt write a lot of our goals down daily. And what are your thoughts on that? Like, writing your goals down and stuff like that. So,
bro, here's my notebook of my ideas. Here's an empty notebook. Here's a notebook for more ideas. My to-do list. You know, it's very important, depending on the type of person you are, but it's very important to try being as organized as possible with your ideas. Because one of the worst things about being a creative person is that if you don't write down your idea right away, boom, it's going to go away. You know, so whenever I think of a good idea, no matter where I'm at, even if I don't have a notebook, I'll write a Facebook status that I'm private, but just to write down my ideas. So for me, it's very important to write down my ideas, because you never know what's a good idea or not after you implement it, until you take action. But if you forget what the idea was, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, that used to happen to me all the time. Like, in the middle of the night, I'd pop up with an idea, and it's like, okay, I remember that in the morning. You never do. For sure. So for your YouTube content, are you to like have goals in terms of like how many videos you're putting out a week?
So you know what? I'm changing how I'm doing my YouTube videos, because I'm always trying to grow and get better. Mm-hmm. And I used to do 2 or 3 videos a week, but I noticed that it wasn't giving me the results I wanted. For example, the views weren't there, the subscribers weren't there, and the ad revenue overall wasn't there. So I'm like, what am I doing wrong? And then I'm like, you know what? And then one thing I noticed was that I was getting less people watching my videos, of course. Mm-hmm. And I started thinking, maybe it's because I'm producing too many videos. Mm-hmm. So I cut back to 1 video a week. And that's what I'm mainly doing. Last week, I did 2 videos a week, which was all right. But pretty much 1 video a week, and see how that goes. And so far, it's been going great.
Nice. Very nice.
That's pretty interesting. And really interesting. Because I've been researching a lot of YouTube and just trying to understand it more, how the algorithm works, how it works on Google and stuff like that. Have you checked that out? Like how your results on Google, how you're ranking on Google?
You know what, man? I don't really check all that stuff out, but I just check my own analytics, like the duration of the video, the watch time. Yeah. Watch time is very important. Yep. But one thing I learned about YouTube is that it's constantly changing, and no one could guess what works and what doesn't. So pretty much you kind of got to do the best practices. You know, make your videos entertaining. Make sure you get the watch time. That's very important. Title and thumbnail play a big part. Because if you don't make an interesting title or thumbnail, no one's going to click your videos. You're not going to get the watch time.
Yeah.
So that's very important. And then, of course, they say likes and comments matter a lot as well.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. With what you're doing, like with the DTG printer, are you going to be doing some of the design work? Or are you going to hire somebody to do the design work for you?
So pretty much the model I want to go with is that the customer submits their own artwork. Or I have little templates, like pre-made designs already. Since I'm targeting sports moms, it's very easy for me to come up with tigers, lions, you know, simple words, simple graphics. And that's kind of the idea I'm going with right now.
So basically, you're like kind of just going to make a website and like let the parents upload a picture to the website, and then they send it to you and you just ship it out to them.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, if you don't mind me, if you don't mind me asking, thoughts like on the pricing and stuff like that, how are you going to do that part of it?
Well, based on what I've done research wise, mm-hmm. a shirt's going to cost about $7 or $8 to make. To screen print, including the shirt, but not including the labor. Mm-hmm. But $8, I sell it for like $15 or $17 at first, mm-hmm. and then I watch the results. If I start getting a lot more business, that's when I start raising the prices. I kind of start medium size, mm-hmm. and then based on how many orders I get, I'll change the prices.
That's what I do. No. I think honestly, like testing the market and seeing mm-hmm. what like your results is very important, and for you as an individual too, to see what like your audience is giving back to you, and mm-hmm. seeing what you can do and adjusting it, making it better, and like then the cost plays a factor too as well.
Yeah, because my main focus, to be honest, isn't the price. My main focus is making sure I'm delivering quality products to my customers. I'm making it as easy as possible to order a shirt, because I've tried ordering shirts and products before, and it's just a whole headache because I just don't understand the whole things. So that's my main concern, making it easy for people to place an order.
Yeah. I got you. Do you know what printer you're planning on getting?
The Epson F2100, I believe.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. If you ever run any problems or need any questions, help or whatever, hit me up. We do a lot of stuff in DTG, so I have some pretty good connections that can probably help smooth some things out for you.
For sure. Appreciate that.
I forgot. I've seen you on that because I watch a lot of YouTube. Yeah. You were on that one kid's. He had his DTG, right? Ken. Yeah, Ken. Yeah. I was watching him actually when he first bought his printer, because that actually made me interested, because I've been thinking about it a little bit too. And I seen him do it, and he was just making a lot of good content around it, and that was pretty cool. I thought that was pretty awesome. And then when I seen you, I was like, Reyes, you're right there too, man. So that was pretty cool.
Well, to be honest, he's the one who hooked me up with the company.
I when you said the name of the printer, I kind of took that into consideration already.
Yeah.
Guys, if you guys have any questions for Reyes, get them ready, because it's a good time to ask him.
That's right. You can ask me anything, all right? Business related, personal life. I don't know. Say some jokes, you know?
Nah. Vending machines. You stock them out every week
with the vending machines? 2 weeks.
Every 2 weeks.
Every 2 weeks. That way, it gives the, you know, that way I'm not there every single time.
Yeah.
Vending machines take a little bit more work, because if a product sells well and it's out of stock quickly, you mm-hmm. need to restock it. That way you can bring in their money, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody has their favorite snack and their favorite drinks.
Yeah, no, for sure. So also, how are you doing this with like the businesses? Like what's your approach on getting a vending machine inside of a business, right? Because that's what we're putting them, right? A local mm-hmm. business, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the approach?
My approach is I just go tell them that mm-hmm. If they will be interested in having a vending machine here. And then I take their first concerns, which is, how much is it going to cost me for you to put a vending machine here 100% free? And then they're going to think, well, what if it breaks or this and that? I stock it, I clean it, I maintain it. And then they're probably going to say, well, what's in it for us? Well, I'll give you 10% of whatever it makes. So what do you say? And to be honest, you're going to get a lot of no's. It's a numbers game.
Yeah.
For every 9 no's you get, you'll get 1 yes, which is what you're trying to go for anyways.
Yeah.
What does a decent-sized vending machine bring in on a month?
bringing them up. You know what? So far, $200.
Okay.
So far, but it depends on the business, because you're depending a lot on not only the employees buying your snack, but also their customers. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually in a situation where I have a soda machine in a spot. It's not performing at all. Like, it made about $40 in a month. And I'm like, I think I'm going to have to move this somewhere else. And mm-hmm. that's where I'm kind of at, because it's all about the location.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. As far as snacks, what kind of snacks are you talking about? We're talking about like sodas, talking about Takis.
So for sodas, you got your regular Coke, Powerade, Monster energy drinks. For snacks, I'm switching it up constantly because I don't want my customers in that spot to get sick of the products. So right now I'm doing a lot of baked chips, and I'm also doing the Doritos, Tapatio. For some reason, hot chips, Takis, hot Cheetos, they sell, man.
Nice. Those hot Cheetos, man, I see people kill like the whole, like they have the small bag, but then now they have like the mini size for like the snack size, and then they have like the medium size, and they have that big old large bag now. And I see kids kill those things. I'm like, dude, they're good. They're bomb though.
Yeah, man, those sell the most for me.
So we got a question from the audience. Anas wants to know, do you buy the vending machines or lease them through a supplier?
See, right now I'm buying them because I'm not that big yet. So each vending machine is costing me about $1,500 refurbished. New machines cost between $3,000 and $4,000. So this is the route I'm going. I used to buy them from Facebook on Craigslist. Yeah. I bought like four machines from Craigslist and Facebook Marketplace. Only one worked. Mm-hmm. And I decided, you know what? Instead of going that route, I'm going to go and buy refurbished is the next step up. Hopefully, I build my business enough where you could actually go to a company like Pepsi, for example, and you tell them, hey, I already have an established vending machine. Would you be willing to lease your machines? And let me have them. But the thing is, you have to buy a product straight from Pepsi themselves.
Right.
That's how it works out. So hopefully I want to get to that level. But right now I'm just building my own little business up.
Yeah, nice.
Here's a really good question right here. How do you balance all the hustles, family, sleep, and how do you set a schedule? Like, that's a really good question.
You know what? I'm going to be straight up honest with you. It's hard, man. Like, relationship-wise, me and my girl are having a lot of issues about this because I'm traveling more, you know, to learn about new hustles and expand my own brand. And it's hard, man. We actually had a discussion the other day where it's like, where are we going to go from here? Because my business is not a job for me. I love doing it. It's my passion. And I feel like I'm changing so many lives, and I don't want to stop. But this isn't her scene. It's not her style. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's a big headache, man. I'm still working on that. My main hustles, I focus on what's making me the most money, and I make that my priority, and that is YouTube. So every day I make sure I'm working on YouTube videos. I'm making content. And then, like the vending machine, when I do that once every 2 weeks, once every 3 weeks, and that's pretty much it, man. I keep my life simple, to be honest. And then at 5 or 6 p.m., that's when I cut it, and I hang out with the family.
Yes.
But every now and then, man, every now and then I need to go overtime. I need to push it because I'm trying to hit 1 million subscribers by the end of the year, and I'm not going to be able to do that. Making a video whenever I can. I need to make sure I'm busting out good quality content. And that takes a big commitment. And to be honest, I don't have the right answer for that because I'm still trying to figure out my perfect balance. But I just focus on my goals, man, and I just go hard.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that stands out for me right there too is like you kind of know what your priority is, right? Like, so you know, obviously your family is your priority, but also like YouTube is your priority, right? Like, so all the other side hustles and everything else, they just feed into YouTube, right?
Yeah.
Like that's the thing that you're focused on. That's the thing that you want to grow. And I think that's one of the things that our audience struggles with sometimes, because there's so many different ways to make money, right? And you see something new and you're like, well, I should do that, and I should do that, and I should do that. And before you know it, you have like 9 different things going on and you're not focused on any of them. Like, find that thing that you really like to do and the thing that you're passionate about, the thing that you like getting up in the morning and focusing on, and focus on that, because that's what's going to grow.
Exactly. And also, there's a lot of people, like you just mentioned, there's so many different ways. And for example, Like, I could spend an hour making the design for merch, but even though merch is only making me like $100, $200 a month, I could use that same hour to edit a video that makes me $1,000 or so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So pretty much you have to value your time and use it on what's making you the most money and just focus on that.
No, no, that's pretty, that was actually a good response. Thanks, Reyes, for sharing that with us. That's pretty cool. He's a real person, guys. So, you know what I mean? We all got our feelings. We got our own struggles, and it's, that was pretty cool that you shared that with us. So I really appreciate that. Means a lot. Yeah. Any questions, guys? Go ahead, get them in. Now's the time, because it's like, dude, it's, like I said, it's to get Reyes on here to actually take the time from what he's doing, his busy schedule, to actually spend some time on here with us. That's pretty badass. Also too. So here's a question. So, the DTG printer, do you know what type of shirt colors you're going to be printing on? Do you have that all ready to go? Do you have it all written down, the cost and all that stuff, everything?
So here's the thing. I start all my businesses. I'm not saying it's the right way, but I am saying that this is the way that works for me, is that I don't try to have all the answers when I first start.
Yep.
I try just starting and getting the answers as I go. So, for example, shirt colors, I'm going to get the ones that sell the best, which is mainly black. Mm-hmm. Black and white usually sell the best. And here's the thing. I have a distributor about 30 minutes away. So that means I could place an order for any color shirts, any quantity, and then just go pick them up in a couple hours. Mm-hmm. So I'm not really worried about that. But, yeah, also with the DTG, that's just one thing I'm going to try, which is the sports moms websites. But I also want to diversify my customer base. And pretty much I would also like to work with YouTubers and mm-hmm. become their own print on demand, you know, business. Because, yeah, man, I just got so many ideas. See, here's the thing. Here's the thing I learned a long time ago, that you could have 100 ideas, yeah. but just focus on one idea. Do it. If it works, keep growing it. If it doesn't, give another idea a shot. Because I know there's a lot of people that have 100 ideas, but those 100, they just don't know where to start or what idea to pick, that they never start.
Mm-hmm.
So
no, yeah, that's super true. It's paralysis mm-hmm. by analysis, man. Mm-hmm. Like, people just overthink things. They want to know all the answers before they start, and it's like, you'll never find that out unless you actually just start and do it.
I get so many people asking me, Reyes, how can I start a YouTube channel? Reyes, what camera, what editing software? And it's like, instead of asking me what you need, you should have already done a couple videos on your phone, posted them, and see what you like. You should be asking me how to grow your YouTube channel instead of asking me how to start. Because starting something is the easiest thing, believe it or not. Growing it, that's the hard part.
Yeah, for sure. Is that how you started, on your phone?
Yo, oh, no, I didn't start a phone. I started on a $50 camera because I had a flip phone, and those were horrible, you know? So I went to Kmart, and I bought like a $50 cheap camera, and that's why if you go to my first videos, crappy, man. My first real investment was this microphone mm-hmm. and Zoom H1 cost like $100. And that was my first big investment. But I only had like $300 in the bank account. But I'm like, you know what? I really want to give this a shot. So I invested on it. But man, my first videos, bro, crappy.
No, but also, too, that's where it all starts, too. That's where, like, when you only have, like, damn, I only have $300. I don't like that feeling of only having $300. You know what I mean? That's how it starts. And then you appreciate the grind. You appreciate the hustle. And then you just keep, next thing you know, you see it coming in. And you just keep it going, and then there's no stopping you. You're like, I ain't stopping now.
Here's something you mentioned right now, which is the grind. There's a lot of people out there that feel like once they start, the money or whatever their goal is, it's going to happen right away. No, man. The grind is one of the biggest parts of achieving anything. Because anything you want to achieve, it's going to take months, if not years, to accomplish. And are you patient enough? And are you willing to grind that long to make it happen? That's what I tell people. I can't tell you how long it's going to take. I can't tell you how successful you're going to be. All I could really ask you is, are you willing to grind and be patient to achieve your goal? And it's either yes or no. That's it.
For sure. Here's a real good question from BJ. He's another person in this space. He actually teaches people how to like draw and do illustrations and stuff. He does really dope artwork. And he was, what's your YouTube strategy? Like, how deep do you actually dive into the analytics or running A-B comparisons on your thumbnails, changing out the keywords, or do you use like TubeBuddy or vidIQ?
I use TubeBuddy. The only reason I use TubeBuddy is for the keywords, the tags, right? And then pretty much I'm learning that when you make a YouTube channel, the most important thing is the topic, the content. What is it going to be about? It needs to be interesting. And I'm starting to realize, like, the little hustles I'm doing. Like, for example, I've done shirts, I've done vending, and one or two videos out of the many videos I did about that content did great. But the rest of the videos didn't do as well. And I'm starting to think the videos that went viral and that got a lot of views are the ones where I show results. How much YouTube paid me for a million viewed video? But I had to get the million viewed video first. How much I made in my vending machine business in 1 month? But I had to build my vending machine to show how much I showed in 1 month. But the screen printing one, how I made screen printing to my full-time income. It's a great video where I show results, but I had to grow the screen printing. You get what I'm saying? So you kind of got to find a shortcut to show results. And that's the new series I'm starting, where I'm shadowing someone who's already doing the hustle and is already making money so I could show the results. Because my main thing, you know, there's so many people preaching tagged analytics, this and that, and those are important. But how I look at it, and the first thing I see is, what does my audience want to see? And my audience wants to see results. They want to see that money. So now it's my job to show them the money. And that's my whole strategy, man. Find an interesting topic, showing the money.
Yeah, that's badass, man. Thank you for sharing that with us. I know you made a video about the million views. How much did you make off? Let the audience know, how much did you make off of that that video so far?
I made a video how much I made in my vending machine business in 1 month. It went viral, bro. Uh-huh. I made about once it hit 1 million, I made about $4,000. And then since that was my first 1 million viewed video, I made a video about how much YouTube pay me for a million viewed video. And that one was 5 minutes. Here's the thing I learned: time matters. Cause the vending machine video I made that went viral, it was about 10 or 11 minutes, and I put several ads in it and gave me $4,000. The how much YouTube paid me for a million views video, it was only 5 minutes, but it almost got doubled the views. Mm-hmm. It got like 1.5, it's at 2.6 million views right now, and I made about $3,000 when that one hit a million views. So, you know, if you really want the money, you got to go over 10 minutes. But it's hard coming up with content and being entertaining for those whole 10 minutes.
Yeah. No. That's pretty crazy. Also, guys, a little bit, well, after the show, actually, I'll link his channel down below. If you guys haven't found it already, all you got to do is
right now.
Yeah. The only thing you got to do too is look at the title. Just type in Reyes the Entrepreneur. Yeah. It'll pop up. I think you just type in Reyes and then auto.
Yeah. Is that a weird feeling when you go to Google and you type in Reyes and then suddenly you see like your little title pop up in the autocomplete?
Hey, bro, I love it, bro. It's like, yeah, man. Now it's getting to a point where I tell people, ask me, oh, what's your channel name? And I'm like, just spell Reyes duh, I'll pop up.
Uh-huh. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. So what's the goal? Like, you said you want to hit a million subscribers this year, but like, what's the overall goal? Like, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
5 years, man. I tell everybody this, I want my own show. You know, like Gordon Ramsay, the Hell's Kitchen guy, the hotel guy, you know, he has his own shows. That's what I want to do, but with entrepreneurship. And that's why I'm trying so many different series right now to see what works and what doesn't. And hopefully I build a successful series where I could go to Netflix or a cable company and pitch in my idea. And that's what I mainly want to do. And it's not about the money. Like, I'm sure I could stay on YouTube forever and make a great living out of it. But I want to reach a bigger audience because there's a lot of people that don't see YouTube as a serious thing. Mm-hmm. But if I appear on the network and I have that backing from a company to promote me, market me, I just want to reach as many people as I can because I really feel like the only way to help people is with knowledge. Like, don't give it. I don't want to give somebody a fish so they could eat for a day. I want to teach them how to fish so they never need me at all.
Yeah, that's kind of why me and RJ do this too, man. Like, it's this isn't about the money. It's just the feeling you get when you have somebody that comes to you and it's like, I made $1,000 this month because of something you showed me. Like, that's amazing. Like, because that's life changing for a lot of people, man. That $1,000, like, it pays their bills, pays their rent, like, make sure that they don't get in credit card debt, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, it's a wonderful feeling, man.
Dude, I honestly too, like, I go back and forth with this. I tell myself this every day, like, having a good meal and eating good is like probably one of the most, like, I respect that so much that I'm able to put a good meal in front of me to eat because it makes me happy. You know what I mean? It's just the big thing for me. Like the other day I made a sandwich, right? And I'm telling the truth. I made a sandwich and I put tomato and lettuce, mustard, mayonnaise, and turkey meat. And I ate it and I felt like so refreshing. And I was like, dude, this sandwich tastes so bomb. Like,
you put the works.
Yeah, no, you know what I mean? I'm just like, And I told my grandpa, I was like, dude, I forgot how good a sandwich tastes, and this is actually really good. And I'm happy with this. Yes. So
yeah.
You know what it is though too, man? Like, and so this is something I know it's common with RJ, it's common with me too, man. Like, is you came from a spot where, like, you struggled, right? Like, you had some hardship in your life and, like, things were rough. You didn't have a whole lot of money. And it just makes you grateful for being in that position and being able to help people get out of those situations, because you know what it feels like, right? Like, if you've never been in that situation, you don't know what it feels like. Like, it is fucking just mind crushing, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like, where do I go? How do I get out of this? What do I got to do? And then, so if you can show people how to get out of that, man, like, it's the best feeling in the world.
Yeah, man. And that's why one of the main reasons I documented my whole journey is to show the struggle, to show people that, hey, I know you're going through something hard, but I'm going through something hard. Everybody goes through something hard. But the only successful people are the ones that don't quit when it gets hard.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I'm pretty sure there's probably a few people that are struggling right now that are listening to this. It's the grind, you know what I mean?
You know what? One thing I put in my mind a long time ago, that the struggle isn't meant to stop you, it's meant to make you stronger. Take each struggle as a learning lesson. Figure out, why am I struggling right now? What did I do to put myself in this situation? And then come up with a plan to get out of it. Because look, my videos, I started in 2015, but I've been struggling since I got out of high school, man. Struggle after struggle. And I just gotten so used to the struggle that I learned how to get over that struggle.
Yeah.
And I didn't let that stop me. And that's pretty much it, experience. Just get over those struggles, learn, and just keep moving forward. And next time another struggle comes into your life, just know, hey, I got over the last one. I could get over this one.
No, man, that's another thing too. Just, it's supposed to happen, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, not like it's working too well. Like, no, something bad is supposed to happen. That's normal. And I try to, like, say that to people too. It's like, that's supposed to happen. Like, something bad happened, it was supposed to happen. So yeah
man.
The other thing people don't realize too is, like, once you get past that first struggle, it doesn't mean that the struggles aren't going to continue to happen, right? Like, you know, more money, more problems, it's true, right? Like, the bigger you get, the bigger business you get, the more that you're doing, the bigger your problems get. It's just part of life. You just got to understand that, like, it's just a process.
Yeah. And the worst part is that you don't know what the next struggle is going to be because you never got this far on your journey. You know what I mean?
For sure. Yeah.
That's another thing. Like, people think, like, as you get more successful and you accomplish more things, that they think that it's going to get easier. And matter of fact, it just gets more harder. And the challenge behind that though is everything. That's everything right there for sure. Just the challenge behind it. So yeah, if you guys got any more questions too, bring them in right now. We have about 15 more minutes left and that's it.
Yeah.
So what's on the plate for this week? What are you working on for this week?
So this week, I just worked pretty hard on busting out the bird video for today. Okay. So one of my biggest challenges in coming up with content is a creative energy, because I could only edit or work on a video for about 3 to 4 hours a day, because since coming up with videos for me, it takes a lot of creativity. Mm-hmm. And that's one of my biggest challenges. So a video takes me about 3 or 4 days. And that's it, man. Pretty much working on videos right now. I just finished a bird video about a couple hours ago. It's going to get uploaded. And then I'm going to start working on the photography one. So I shadowed a photographer. for a session to see how he does it, how much he makes, what equipment does he use, and I'm gonna start working on that video. Hopefully posted by Friday, and then I'm working on the vending machine video, so I'm gonna start recording that tomorrow. I'm gonna go check up on my vending machine. Unfortunately, one of the machines I bought is taking so long, and the location's waiting for it. So I need to go find another distributor closer, because the reason why the vending machine is taking so long is because it's being freight shipped, and they're taking a sweet-ass time over there, man. So I got to find somebody else, and of course, that's all content and vending machine video. So pretty much, I start working on the content first, and then I get the footage, and once I have enough, then I start putting it together and put the video together. And hopefully I could get out the photography video by Friday and the vending machine video by Monday. And that's it, man. And oh, and then, well, Friday, I'm going to record for DoorDash. And hopefully I get enough footage. And that video is going to be posted Friday. So pretty much I don't have a big master plan. I don't have everything scheduled. But I'm just going little by little, you know. My thing is just always keep moving forward somehow.
Yeah, for sure. So somebody's asking, like, how long in your YouTube journey did it take it to make it big? Like, how long from when you started to when you started to really make some money?
We'll make it big. I'm not even big, bro. You know? But it took about 2.5 years just to start making any money out of it. So for 2.5 years, I was giving out free 99 knowledge for free. But after 2.5 years, I started making some money. It's been a year, almost a year and a half since I've been doing this full time.
Okay, cool.
Nice.
But I didn't do it for the money. I could have quit after the second year. Because I love what I'm doing and I'm passionate. That's what kept me moving forward until I started making money.
Yeah, no, that's pretty cool. Also, too, you had a you said something a little bit earlier about the DTG printer. You said that your supplier is 30 minutes from you. So I'm assuming you live in Southern California, right?
Central California.
Central, okay.
Fresno area.
Fresno area, okay.
Yeah. We have a Alpha Brothers. I don't know if you ever heard of them. I think, yeah. Alpha Brothers or something like that. But yeah, they have a warehouse right here in Fresno, California.
Well, that's pretty cool also, too. So keeping that, like, do you, like, because I know you made, like, your network a lot because of your YouTube channel. It's, like, blowing up. Mm-hmm. Do you have, like, companies, like, coming to you, like, hey, can you distribute our shirt or like the product that you get from like these big suppliers? Do they come to you and be like, hey, mention our product or our brand on your YouTube channel? And how do you go about that? Like, how's that work out for you?
So I haven't had a lot of sponsorship companies. I haven't had a lot of sponsorship opportunities, but because I'm not really focused on sponsorships, what I'm interested in is affiliate marketing. Because that's where the true passive income comes in. So I have about 7 companies that I'm an affiliate for. And pretty much I put their link in the description. When people click on it, I make commission out of it. And that's what I really want to do. I love working with companies long term and building those friendships and those networking opportunities.
Nice.
Yeah,
for sure.
So, let's see. That's more of a merch question. Area 51 questions.
Oh, you guys gonna go September 20th, man?
If you can find a way to make a an Area 51 video about your side hustle, maybe you make some Area 51 shirts with your DTG printer once it gets going.
So this is it. This is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go to Area 51. Well, I'm gonna start selling, like you just mentioned, merch. Area 51 merch September 20th. You know, make it like a big thing. And then I'm going to go and then I'm going to make a little stand and sell waters and snacks for other people over there. You know, and then make a video and be like, nah, I'm messing around. But tell me that wouldn't be a cool video, though.
It'll be a great video, man.
Like, just have somebody in an alien mask, like chasing you away from your water stand to start the video.
But see, that's another video idea right there. You know, it sounds interesting. It sounds fun. And it's possible. I'm just not going to do it. But, hey, anybody else want to do it? You're close by. Get it.
For sure. All right. We're about 50 minutes in. Anybody else have any questions we can ask Riz? Like, thank you for joining us. This has been real fun. I enjoy it. Like, I always enjoy talking to other people that like do something similar to what we are, right? Like, just help people out and just like, that's the reason they're into it.
Yeah. I enjoy it too, man. Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it.
Sure.
And so you both have YouTube channels.
Yep. Yes. Yeah. So his is RJ Martinez. Mine is Merch Elephant.
And what's your guys' goal for those channels?
RJ's probably got more of a goal than I do, honestly. Go ahead.
I just think, dude, like, honestly, I'm going to be honest with you. YouTube has helped a lot for, like, networking and meeting new people and showing people how to do things. It's got us to where we're at right now. That's a big, plays a big part of that. I've been on a few other buddies' shows, and they have me on there, and a lot of people have actually reached out to me because I did that interview. And now I'm here, and it's crazy. Like, I had a buddy that told me that he pulled over to the side of the road, right, and to listen to my interview. And now he's doing like he's doing a certain amount. He's doing a full time income with merch by Amazon, right? And just because he pulled over on the side of the road just to listen to the interview on YouTube. So just relationships like that, and just growing has helped out a lot, man. It's crazy. It's really crazy. I think just building this YouTube channel up and networking with other people is going to help a lot more with the success in the future. So that's what I'm trying to do.
Do you plan on making a YouTube into a full-time thing, or is it just one of those things to help your other business?
Well, just kind of just leverage everything. I'm not too sure on that yet. But just to leverage everything right now, for sure. I know, like,
money out of it? Out of
YouTube? Well, affiliates and stuff like that, I do.
What about ad revenue? You're not monetized yet?
Yeah, I am, but I actually took it off the other day.
Why? It's free money.
Yeah, no, we had this discussion though, right? Like, so like both of our channels they're like 10,000 people, right? Like mine's like 11.5, his is like 10 something. And honestly, like the way that you're going to make money, right, is to build as big an audience as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So like the way to build an audience easier, honestly, is just not give interrupts, not forced to have things where people bounce off your channel, right? So like, you know how it is, like somebody will go to your channel and then an ad will pop up and they're like, I don't feel like watching, so I'm gonna go watch something else, right? Mm-hmm. So we're both just trying an experiment. We just shut monetization off just to see if like that helps to get longer watch times, get more people watching things, stay on the channel longer and help them grow.
I actually did that myself for 6 months when I was doing YouTube. I wanted to focus on the shirt business. And I wanted to grow the shirt business, and I took out my monetization on my videos. And then once I started, I realized I wanted to jump into YouTube full time. Me personally, because I did want to make YouTube into my full time income, it hurt me a lot, because I noticed that if I would have kept my monetization on my videos, I would have been making money that whole 6 months I took them off, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, man, pretty much.
That's what we're kind of getting at right there with the topic too, as well. Is like, okay, but did you network? Did you meet new people faster because of that? Because YouTube will start showing your videos more. People will start viewing your videos more. And you get what I'm saying? Instead of seeing that ad for 15 seconds or 10 seconds or whatever it is, it goes straight into your video and you get your point across.
You know what? Yeah, I understand what you mean.
Yeah.
You know, just I think differently is that people nowadays are so used to ads on everything that they're willing to put up with it if the information or the content is worth watching. You know what I mean? Like, for example, when you make a 10-minute video, you could put ads wherever you want. But I make sure to put an ad right before I show a really big piece of information. So, yeah. For example, hey, guys, I'm going to show you how much I made. And then, boom, it cuts into an ad. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully they come back. And so they could keep watching the video. So that's my little trick right there. I put the ads right before I'm about to release a really big piece of information.
Nice. Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. I think for me, yeah. Like YouTube is, there's no real like plan for it at all. Like I own my own business outside of like the DTG stuff and everything else. Like we make good money with this. Mm-hmm. I started doing videos because RJ wouldn't stop bugging me about it. Like he was just, you got to make a video. You got to make a video. I was like, all right. Like he's the one that got me into this. Like he got me into like actually doing all of this stuff. So I started making videos, and then that, like I said, I had that one video that like really took off. It did really well. Mm-hmm. And I make them when I have a chance, or if I have an idea, or I have something I think that's like good to share. But it's not something that like I do like on a weekly basis.
And here's the thing about, I feel like people get wrong about being a YouTuber or starting a YouTube channel where they feel like, oh, I need to go hard. I need to get a big audience. No, you could use YouTube for whatever you want. You could use YouTube to build your music career, to build your regular business. YouTube could be whatever you want it to be. And that's perfectly fine.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, no, for sure. No, I understand that. There is one question in here. Let's get this one question in and we'll call it right after that. What is your advice for someone starting over in life? I've got the grind down, just looking for some direction.
Try a whole bunch of different things. Try. You don't know what you like until you try it, and you won't be able to try it unless you just put yourself out there. So think of who you are and what you want to do and what interests you. I mean, I can't really tell this person which direction to go, because my way might not be his way. Mm-hmm. But figure out what you want to do in life by trying a whole bunch of different things. I don't know. Go to the gym. Join an art class. Do this and that. Work on cars. Whatever you're interested in, just give it a shot. And once you find that one thing that when you wake up in the morning and you're like, oh, man, I really want to do this, that's when you find your passion. And then just keep growing that. Me, I love teaching, man. Like I told you, I was doing YouTube for free for 2.5 years, just spreading free 99 knowledge, because I love teaching. I will teach for free. Mm-hmm. And that brings joy to my life. That brings meaning to my life. And I'm so glad I found that for myself. And I just want to help people find that themselves. And that's the reason I try so many different hustles. Because if I would have just made a whole shirt channel, maybe some people don't want to do shirts, but maybe they do want to do vending, or maybe they want to try eBay, or maybe they want to see this and that. And that's why I do what I do, and that's why I try so many different things, and that's why I show people so many different things, because they're not going to know what they like until either they try it or somebody else shows them how it works.
Yeah, no. That was good. That was good stuff right there. Jody said, awesome. Thank you for asking that question too. That's actually a really good question for you to ask. Thank you. Appreciate that. This is a good way to end it right there. Good, Matt.
Yeah, no, for sure. I just want to say, I appreciate you coming on with this, bro. I really do. Yeah, it was, this is a good video, man. Like it's good for people to hear this stuff. Cause sometimes like they just need to hear that, you know, the struggle is real, and like, you just have to put your head down and work at things. It's not going to happen easily.
One thing I learned a long time ago is that the reason people don't know the answers is because nobody ever taught them the answers or showed them what to do. You know what I mean? They never had that person to guide them. And it's not their fault. But how I see it, it's my responsibility to guide people. And like I told you, my YouTube channel is not just a business. It's not something I just enjoy doing. It's something that I feel it's bigger than myself. Like, for example, you know, knock on wood, but when it's my time to go, it's going to be my time to go. But my videos are going to be there forever, still teaching people how to grow a business. And that's what I love about it, man. I feel like I'm on a mission in my life, and I'm so passionate about this. And that's why I do what I do.
No, I love that for sure. Good way to end right there, bro. So yeah, appreciate it.
Yeah, hey, guys.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, guys, if you guys haven't subscribed to my channel, subscribe to my channel. I'll put Matt's channel down below and Reyes' channel down below too as well, so you can subscribe to both of their channels. And I think we're going to end it right there.
Yeah. Look him up on Instagram too, Reyes the Entrepreneur. Like, super, just super entertaining, like, and just good value.
And then I just posted a new video, how much I made charging Bird scooters. And anybody want to, you know, just follow me on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. Raised Entrepreneur. You don't even got to spell entrepreneur right. I'll pop up.
Nice. No, well, I'll post it. As soon as you post that, I'll post that in the group. We have me and Matt have a really good size Facebook group. We'll post it in there as soon as you post it, man. Thank you for showing us love, coming on here tonight. And everybody, thank Reyes for actually coming on here, man. Appreciate you.
Hey, thank you, man. You guys have a good day.
You too. Right, brother. Thanks, brother.
Later, man.